get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and I'm here with Becky Ivins. And to my left, good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
You know, I feel great. It's a great spring morning. We're heading into summer. It's shorts and sweatshirt weather.
Yeah.
That's my perfect.
I'll tell you what, we went out last night. First time in forever.
Did you karaoke?
We did not karaoke, but we sang.
Yeah.
We went to Junior's.
Oh.
Had a birthday party.
I have not. So I went to Junior's for one of my proms. I think my junior year prom. And I think that was the last time I've been to Junior's.
Oh, go again.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Schedule a birthday party. They have a nice room in the back. We had a birthday party for our good friend Dot. And it was fun.
Good.
Good food. Good friends. Full house.
Yeah.
Well, in our little room. It was not full house in the restaurant, I'll say. So,
well,
but anyway,
nice.
It was fun to get to go out. And, you know, you get dressed up, you go out. Remember when we did that?
Back in my day when we used to go out to eat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Hey, I had a funny conversation yesterday with someone. So I was out yesterday at the YMCA on a stationary bike, just doing a little exercising, and saw a friend I haven't seen since pre-pandemic, since before we didn't go out. Hadn't seen her in a year or so. And so she said, hey, congratulations on the wedding. Congratulations on this. And then she said, I hear you almost every Saturday on the radio. And she goes, that's so much fun. I said, it is a delight. And then she asked me, she goes, is Becky really as nice as she seems? Because sometimes those personalities, they're really not. Because she sees you on the Barbara Corcoran commercial and hears you on the radio and things. And I said, you know what? She is better in person. I said, she is really nice. I said, we have a lot of fun. I said, she really knows her things about real estate and really likes people. So anyway, it was a fun conversation.
Well, that was kind of you. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our topic of our show today.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Are talking about not just how to get a loan on your new purchase or refinance or whatever, but the big problem in our industry right now is there's not enough inventory, as they say, and our inventory is housing. So whether it be rentals, whether it be a big acreage with a house on it, or standard lot, platted lot in the city, condo, townhouse, that there's just not enough to choose from.
And that really is throwing a lot of Oklahomans off, because this is not something we have dealt with very much here in Oklahoma. I mean, we have historically we've had a wonderful supply of houses. It keeps our housing cost lower compared to nationally. I mean, the amount of home you can buy here versus the amount of home you can buy on the coast is,
well,
just
that, folks, that's changing. I will tell you something. I look at the new listings every day on when they come on the multi-list. That's one of the first things I do, is I go on and I look, well, what are the new listings? What are the ones that are going back on the market? Maybe the contract failed for some reason. What property has increased in price and what has decreased in price? And what's an interesting thing is there's a significant number of properties that increase their price after they list it, which we haven't had a lot of that.
Yeah.
Other parts of the country do sometimes, but we've not had that. As a standard, builders increase the price of their homes. That's a very standard thing, has been forever. They have a budget, and they have just a tally line. And when every single thing that happens to the home, a builder has a budget for it. And if it comes in below budget, They really do not reduce their price. But if it comes in above the budget, then they increase the price as they go along. And they probably don't do this, but except they probably analyze about once a month
mm-hmm.
as to what to do with the pricing. And hopefully they would keep it the same, but that's not been the case of recent months. Because price of materials, particularly lumber, has pretty much doubled.
Yeah.
And you want lumber in your house,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And plenty of it. So when the supplies of materials dwindle, you pay what you have to get those supplies to complete your project.
I mean, you go back to just learning in elementary of supply and demand, supply and demand. And if you are wanting a house that 100 other people are wanting that same style of house,
uh-huh.
well, the demand is high. So and the supply, especially if you're in the 180 to 250, 300, really kind of, it's kind of going up to 350.
Yeah, yeah,
are you seeing the same thing, Becky?
Even, I showed some clients that came in from California, and they were looking between about $1 million and about 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
And those were fun houses to show, I must say, because they have such amenities. When you get up to that point, actually, when you get past about 800,000 or so right now, you're buying luxury, and luxury is you're buying lifestyle mm-hmm. as opposed to just how many rooms you need and what you need those rooms to service your family for.
Yeah.
So, but they came into town and they had 8 they wanted to see that they had researched. And then their trip was delayed because we had the snowmageddon, the snowstorm that we had here. And I just said, the streets are impassable. We can get down the major streets, but not the neighborhood streets where we will be going.
Right.
And so they delayed their trip. But when they came back 2 weeks later, 5 of the 8 properties had already sold.
Really?
And these are between $1 and $2 million. So then they pick out, they're coming back.
Yeah.
And they decided that they're not going to pick out any to look at until a couple of days before they come, because we picked out others last week.
Uh-huh.
And more than half of them, we had 10 picked out to go look at, and 5 of them had sold.
Wow.
A week later. So yeah. Those are selling, which is great. What we're talking about today, though, is how do you get the bid? If you're making an offer on a house, how is it that you are the one that gets the chosen one, the chosen contract to purchase that home? And the first thing you do is get your money lined up. If you're paying cash, get proof of funds from your bank, your broker, whoever you need to get your statement saying, I have all this money in cash. I can buy the house cash. Otherwise,
NMLS number 196895.
It's our money man, Dean Riddell from SWBC. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you all?
We're doing well today, Dean. And it's SWBC Mortgage, isn't it?
It is.
And that's how to get yourself prepared to win a bid. If there's, like we had one, our smoking hot deal last week,
yeah.
We had 14 offers on it.
Wow.
And we could only pick one. So which one did we pick? We picked the one with, actually, we picked a cash one with proof of funds.
Yeah.
Right? So,
right.
Dean.
Well, you got to do that.
Well, and because they were almost as high as the mortgage bids. We did have a couple mortgage bids. No way that house would have appraised for as much as some people had bid on it. We knew that. So,
right.
You know, couple yourself with a good lender, a good realtor, and you're going to be in a great position. So, Dean, what do they need to do to qualify for their lending?
You know, Becky, being prepared is the key thing you and Mark have hit on. You know, my website is DeanRiddellHomeLoans.com, but it is all about getting your bank statements, pay stubs, tax returns, divorce decree, should it apply, bankruptcy documents, should it apply. Get prepared, be ready to go. And it isn't just, you know, there's a difference in just going out and filling out an application and doing that, what I call the data entry piece of it. There's no validation. It, you know, there's all you're looking at is data. Whereas if someone has truly completed their application, provided their bank statements and pay stubs, and we can validate and vet their down payment or their monies or whatever it may be, to me, it puts that buyer in the driver's seat when they go to write an offer, is that they are truly pre-approved, pre-qualified, ready to go.
One of the biggest things, Becky, is using a local lender, right? When you're presenting to a seller,
One of our own buyers lost a bid because they did not have a local lender. They were already had a pre-approval letter from a lender, but it was an internet lender.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joe says, well, what? Joe is an agent in our office on our team. And Joe says, well, what would have caused us to get the bid? And the listing realtor said, you used an internet lender. The seller is savvy about this, and he knows about local lenders and the fact that they've actually sat down with people, talked to them on the phone, and gathered all the information. So if you want to go and deal with the local lender that I personally dealt with,
call Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage. His number is 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Thanks, Dean. We'll be back with more with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. And we're talking about how do you find that home in this market. Now, Becky, what's driving this market? Why are we having 14 offers on
one listing?
One listing.
And that really isn't all that many, frankly.
No, because you had another one that had 30.
Well, we've had, 27, 34.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there looking to purchase. And why are they looking to purchase? Because they want a home. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any big secret to that. It's just that we have far fewer homes on the market. Mm-hmm. We have less than half the homes on the market that we typically do. So let's just take this, like January, February, and March of this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in January, there was 2,400 homes that hit the market. Okay? The average price was $200,000. In February, there was 1,900 homes that hit the market. So a lot less, 500 less. But the price increased to $205,000 was the average price. And then in March, people usually start listing their houses in March. There was over 2,900 homes listed, almost 3,000 homes listed. The price did not level out. The average price went to $215,000. So it went from in January, the average price was $200,000, February $205,000, and March it was $215,000. So if you were kind of waiting to purchase a home, you're making the wrong move there. You need to sell your house. If you want, what if it goes up another 1,000 next month? Because it went up over 1,000 new homes on the market. When mm-hmm. I say new homes, I just mean new to the market. They're existing homes also. The great big majority are existing homes. So if there 3,000 hit the market in March, what if 4,000 come on in April and 5,000 in May? Will the price of homes keep going up? Hard to tell because we've got a backlog of buyers waiting to purchase. But the average price, I don't know. It would level out. That's my assumption there. But it's gone up 5,000 a month for the first 3 months of this year. So if you're looking in the average price range. Average price range is what? 174 to 265. Mm-hmm. That's what we consider average. And Mark, you're a statistical guy there. How much do we have? I mean, like, if nobody lists any more houses, how long would these houses last on the market?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yep.
And then all the houses are going to be gone.
It's gone, right. And that's what, I mean, that's just one of the amazing parts that we have seen through all of this is just the supply out there that if no other thing hit the market, it would be sold out
in two weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we say lack of inventory, it's pretty typical for us to have well over 4,000, maybe 6,000 listings out there. Mm-hmm. So if we have 1,900, everybody's trying for the same house. Now, how about if you're looking lower than average, say 98,000 to 174?
It's the same. It's still, it's two weeks. It's just 2 weeks of inventory. And if you want to join in the conversation, have a question for Becky over this, give us a call at 840-1000. And this, because there's probably something that triggering in you that you would have a question about. And the month supply, so on a neutral market, the same number of buyers, same number of sellers, is somewhere around 5 months. Is that right, Becky?
That's right. It kind of teeters between about 4.5 and about 6.5 months.
Yeah.
Is a typical time. But in the upper end, if you get a notch higher than average, you tend in a typical market to get more like 7 or 8 months of supply of homes. So if nobody lists anything new, say over 266,000, go up to 400,000. Typically we would have 7, 8 months, maybe even 9 months supply in that price range. What do we have now?
It's just under 1 month, 0.9 of a month, which means, I mean, it's
25 days.
25 days. Yes. So, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, it is.
It
is, and then the price is going up. We used to be a really, I used to use the term, you can live like a king in Oklahoma because our housing prices are so affordable.
Yeah.
They're not so affordable anymore. So how can you be a smart home shopper? How can you put yourself out there to get a decent purchase? You know, you don't want to overpay.
Yeah.
So how can you do that? Be flexible. You have to be flexible. You can want to live in a certain area, but if you go to another area and the homes are $35,000 less than what they are in your preferred area, well, either you're going to have to give up a bedroom and bathroom and a garage, or you're going to have to choose a different area.
Mm-hmm.
So, or a different type of house, perhaps. Instead of a single-family residence with a great big yard, you may have to go to a smaller footprint yard and maybe a two-car garage instead of a three in order to afford that in your price bracket. So you have to be flexible, and you have to be bold on your bidding. We're really not having a whole lot of trouble with appraisals right now. Appraisers are smart. They're going with an acceleration of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone up. I mean, this is showing that it's gone up, what is that, 0.5% a month in the last 3 months. So 1.5%. So if something sold for $200 in January and you're using it as a comparable right now, the first part of April, well, you would add 7.5% to that,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I'm not sure if my math is quite right on that. But instead of that house, that comparable house being $200,000, you're going to use $215,000 on that.
Yeah. And where the appraisal comes in is if you're paying cash for a home, you can pay whatever you want. Right, Becky? I mean, you can, if you want, if it's your cash, your money, you're paying
Exactly. It doesn't have to meet appraisal. It doesn't have to meet anybody's requirement except your own.
But if you're buying or using a bank's money, you're mortgaging, then it has to appraise for an amount that the bank is satisfied with.
And you may be okay with paying more, but it's going to have to be in cash.
Mm-hmm.
The bank will still, if it appraises at 200, the bank is still only going to loan you a percentage of the appraisal amount, not the purchase amount, the lower of the purchase or the appraisal amount. So we've got more to talk about.
We do. We have a lot of strategies to help you find that right house on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and I'm here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking about what's happening in the Oklahoma City market and how you can find the house that you're looking for when it seems to be a needle in the haystack right now.
Right.
Yeah. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. And our word of the day, Becky, is?
Escalation.
Escalation.
Now, we have in our arsenal of contract forms an escalation clause addendum. And what this is, to put you at a better position, like you want to pay, let's just say you want to pay $200,000 for the house. That's what it's listed for. It's what the seller has put it on the market for. That's what you want to pay. So you make your offer at $200,000. But the question that we always ask you is, what if someone paid $211,000, would you be willing to pay $211,500? Or are you going to be kicking yourself if you don't escalate your value that you're willing to pay for that property? So the escalation clause, that is a whole, it's page and a half actually, but the escalation clause is a clause in a contract that guarantees a change in the agreement. And in this case, the agreement price, once a particular factor beyond the control of either party affecting the value has been determined. So we get these escalation clauses, and Oklahoma Real Estate Commission does not like the escalation clause. However, they're the ones that wrote the addendum to attach to our contract.
So why don't they like the escalation clause?
Well, the... We've had several of these escalation clauses lately, and an example is, okay, I'm going to offer $200,000 for this house. However, I'm willing to pay $216,000 so long as I'll pay $1,000 more than your highest bid, so long as it doesn't go over $216,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the parameters in there. I'll pay $1,000 more than anybody else. And then you put your top price. If it goes to $222,000, you're not buying it.
Yeah.
You know, so you define the parameters of how you're going to escalate this price up to a different level. However, it gets escalated by somebody else's offer on the property. And the problem in Oklahoma is that we have a duty to confidentiality. So invariably, someone wants to see the offer that escalated theirs up to a certain price. And it's kind of interesting we're talking about this because I just got a dismissal of a complaint filed against me yesterday in the mail from the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
Oh.
Last summer, We had a house that had 34 offers on it. One of those offers, only one, had an escalation clause. And that escalation clause was, and I'm not going to tell the name of the people or the property, but I'm just going to use the real numbers. House was listed at $125,000. That is the very most I thought it would appraise for, given the past sales in the area. But what did I think? I knew people would be willing to pay more for this house. Mm-hmm. It was not a mortgage-worthy house. I mean, it had a foot and a half of mud in the basement. I mean, you would have been, it would have been really far-fetched to get a...
To get a loan.
Well, to get a conforming mortgage. Yeah. Conforming means standard FHA, VA, conventional mortgage. So we were looking, of course, for a cash offer. And we got, I think there were six that wanted loans. The seller kicked out those six and says, I don't care how much they've offered. It's not, we're not going to be able to get a mortgage on it. So let's not do that. So then we had all these other offers. One of them offered $175,000, $50,000 above list price. Most all of them were well above list price. Okay, we're into the 140s, 150s, 160s. And then we had the 175 offer. Then we had another offer, and I forgot what they offered, like 145 or something. But they had an escalation clause that says we'll pay $1,000 more than your next highest offer, so long as it doesn't go above $176,000. Okay, that ended up being our highest offer, right?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't, what we did on that, we got an agreement. Well, first of all, we issued a highest and best. We kicked out the ones that required financing, and there were another, I think there were 16 or 17, something like that, maybe 18, that were cash offers. So we issued what's called a highest and best to those folks saying, okay, we have multiple offers. The seller decided to do this. It's the seller's decision. Let's do highest and best to the people that do not require financing and see what the most we can get for the property is. What mm-hmm. is the market price? Market price is the price that the buyer and seller can agree on to do the transaction at. So the one that had bid 175 did not change their bid. They stuck with 175. Most of, well over half the folks, did increase their bid, the purchase price, but without... I mean, it didn't do them any good because they didn't get up to that 175.
Yeah.
The one that was 176 was their highest, demanded to see the next highest bid on the property. And I said, we can't do that. We owe confidentiality to every person that we deal with, whether buyer or seller. We owe confidentiality, so we can't do that. But I understood it was very coincidental that the 175 had been bid and their highest bid was $1,000 higher, which was 176. Yep. So that was very coincidental. But it was the fact. And so I talked to these folks and said, hey, I will be glad to write you an affidavit and sign it. And if, you know, they just said, no, we have to see the offer. So I said, well, I'm not showing you the offer because then I'm going against the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission rules and I won't do that.
Yeah.
So the seller is okay with taking the 175. So if you don't want the house, that's okay. So, of course, I talked to the seller in the meantime.
Yeah.
He goes, he was happy with anything over the 125. So he was golden. And so I said, you know, guys don't have to buy the house. The seller is happy to take the next offer.
Yeah.
Nope, they wanted to do it. So I wrote back on the counter offer. We confirmed the sales price at 176. They signed it. and immediately filed a complaint with the real estate commission saying, hey, and I mean, we're kind of chuckling. I get it.
I mean, get
their point of view.
Sure.
I would want to see it too.
Yeah.
But the rules are the rules. We're not going to break a rule to satisfy someone's curiosity about the previous offer. So you can use an escalation clause, but what you cannot do, and it does say that in the escalation addendum, which, by the way, we did not have at the time. It was just a written, handwritten in clause.
Oh.
I used that back in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's been around for a long time.
Well, it's been around since at least 1977.
Yeah.
You can use it, and I used it back then, and I like the escalation clause. But you have to depend on the integrity of the realtor that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Now, this one happened to be our own client. The buyer and the seller came out of our office. So my own client filed a complaint against me, which was a little disturbing. But they didn't do it in a vindictive way. They just said, hey, we're going to file a complaint because we want to see the other offer that pushed us to the 176. And I said, hey, if the real estate commission wants to show it to you, that's their business.
Yeah.
So we had to get all 34 of those offers and the cost sheets all to the real estate commission. It was quite a chore because we had to stamp when they came in and that kind of thing, which, of course, that's what that buyer wanted to see, is when did the offers come in?
Mm-hmm.
And did they come in before our offer came in? They wanted to be sure they were being treated fairly. So anyway, I got a dismissal in the mail yesterday on that because my only rebuttal was my duty to confidentiality prohibits me from showing any offer to another person. So that was it.
Well, this is what's critical in this time period is you have to have a realtor who knows the tools, who knows how to properly use them, who can do them fair to all parties involved, so that there can be a successful closing, because you can easily get yourself into situations where it drags out because things aren't done right or in the right way, and it's harmful to the buyer and the seller.
You know, I did that. I made a bid on a house that had multiple offers and failed to put the escalation clause in there because I certainly would have paid more. And kick myself every day. That was about 3 weeks ago because I really would like to have the house.
We're going to be back with how do you get that bid across the line, that offer across the line. We're going to tell you some key ways to do that when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about how to get your offer accepted in today's market in Oklahoma City.
Well, good morning again. And this is Becky Ivins coming to you from the 11th floor of 50 Penn Place. And how do you get your offer accepted? First of all, get proof of your funding. We've kind of covered that. Be flexible on your purchase price. Be aggressive on your offering price on this. And one of the other things you can do is be flexible on your closing date. So we closed a transaction yesterday that was like $400,000, give or take a few thousand, but I think it was $400,000. The buyer on that one gave the seller the flexibility of a couple weeks after closing, if needed, to occupy the home, because the seller of that property was having a new home built. Turns out it was not, the new home was not finished quite, so they had nowhere to go. So our buyer was smart enough, our agent was smart enough to tell the buyer, hey, not only do you need to have the right price, but let's go in and give them as much as 29 days in the property after closing. But you can't give more than 30 days because on an owner-occupied loan, if you're getting an owner-occupied loan, FHA or VA are both owner-occupied. Most conventional loans are owner-occupied. You have to occupy the home within 30 days of purchasing it. Your mortgage says that. You're in default if you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because an owner-occupied home is less risk than an investment property. So
those, here's the key I would say, Becky, with this is give us a call at 722-3232, 722-3232, and you need a game plan in today. You have to sit down with an agent and you build out a game plan that fits you as a buyer, and then when you find that home, you then build a game plan for going after that particular home. Like, because what happens is I have a buyer that finds a home they love. I call that listing agent and I ask questions like, are you working any other offers on this home? Are you, is the closing date important? How important? Is it quicker or slower?
Right.
Things that you can find out. So then you can build what is our best strategy for making the strongest offer we can to get into that home.
Is a $500 earnest money check a strong offer, Mark?
No.
Realtors, please listen up here. It is laughable that someone would put up $500 earnest money and expect a seller in today's market to take their home off the market for $500 earnest money, because 3 days before closing, the buyer, the house they always wanted to purchase might go on the market,
mm-hmm.
and all it costs them to walk away is $500 earnest money.
Yep.
So, and that is not, I would never suggest to a seller, now sellers get to do what they want to. I mean, I don't get to dictate, even though I want to sometimes, but I never get to dictate, and I won't dictate what you do with your own property.
Yeah.
But you would be putting yourself in a precarious position if you accepted a $500 earnest money check. It's just a ridiculous thought.
You have to bring in today's market a strong offer on all points.
On earnest money?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1% is kind of minimum.
Yeah.
To be in order to win the bid.
Yep.
If there's 17 offers or 2 offers. The one with the largest earnest money is going to be somewhat favorable.
Mm-hmm.
So earnest money matters. Closing date matters. Make that flexible. Okay, we can close anytime between the 21st of April to May 29th. Seller's choice of closing date. So that's good.
Yeah.
And then don't demand a home warranty if they've not already offered it. Buy your own home warranty. The other things in the contract is, you're going to be kicked out if you ask for too many repairs in a market like today.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do that after the fact. But there are people waiting in the wings for your deal to fall through. When your deal falls through, we've already submitted an offer.
Yeah.
Chances are we have already submitted an offer to that listing agent with a very long date to accept, so that when that offer falls through, we're first in line. So
this is where, as a buyer, you just have to have all your ducks in a row, and you have to have your game plan out, laid out. And then you just have to go for it.
Yes.
That's what you have to go for it. So if you are in search of a house, we have a game plan for you. Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Becky, it's been a good day here.
It's been a good day. Give us a call anytime, 722-3232.